What we want to look at today is what happened last week. Biden had signed an executive order, get this, to explore the creation of a digital currency. Yes, that's right. You're hearing it, that the time has arrived now. We are living in the last days as we have known, and now we're starting to see the implementation of a digital currency. And now Biden in the United States has signed an executive order. Now, again, with an executive order, this could be delayed, this could be fought in court, and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, you know what the Bible declares will happen. One day there will be a digital currency that the Antichrist controls in the tribulation period. But we're now seeing the setup of this, and we're seeing the countries of the world start implementing it. So other countries have implemented the digital currency, and now the United States is toying with the idea of a creation of a digital currency for America. This will eventually morph into a regional currency and then eventually a global currency. But we are now alive and are watching this happen. And so consider us, it's not something that we desire to see, but we are privileged to see because prophecy predicted this. The Bible predicted this and we're watching it. A cashless system, a digital one world currency, and a digital economic system. Well, there we go. So you don't have to go far to find this. If you want to read the whole entire document, you go to whitehouse.gov and go to the briefing room tab. And it'll say this, it'll say President Biden to sign executive order on ensuring responsible development of digital assets. And you can read through it. I'm going to share a little bit about it and talk to you about the future implications for all of us. The statement on the White House website says this, this executive order outlines the first whole of government strategy to protect consumers, financial stability, national security, and address climate risks. Can you believe that? They've thrown in the climate about this, so it's crazy. Anyway, it goes on to say that digital assets, including cryptocurrencies, and I'll have this on the screen for you, have seen an explosive growth in recent years, they say, surpassing a $3 trillion market cap last November, and up from $14 billion just 5 years prior, they say. Surveys suggest that around 16% of adult Americans, approximately 40 million people, have invested in, traded, and used cryptocurrencies. Over 100 countries are exploring or piloting central bank digital currencies, a digital form of a country's sovereign currency. So what they're saying basically in this little excerpt taken from the executive order is this, look, everyone's doing it. We got to get ahead of this as well because everyone's doing this. This is where everyone's going. This is the trend and we don't want to be left behind in this. And so we're going to go explore and perhaps implement a digital currency like these other countries are doing. And basically the idea is that we're way behind on this. Other countries are doing this. 40 million people are using cryptocurrencies. Come on. Yes, let's get up with the signs of the times. You see how they're wording that? Again, making the impression that we're behind on this. Okay. They continue on in the executive order, and it states this, and I'll have it on the screen for you. It says this, the rise in digital assets creates an opportunity to reinforce American leadership in the global financial system. Notice what it says, the global financial system. So they're going to link America's digital currency to this global financial system and at the technological frontier, which is, again, digital currency, but also has substantial implications for consumer protection. Oh, it's going to protect you, they say. Financial stability. We won't have these fluctuations in the stock market or anything like that. So it's going to solve that problem. And then it's going to solve national security problems. I don't know how that solves national security problems, but in their narrative, it does. And then climate risk. You see that? They throw the climate in there. I don't know how a digital currency helps the planet. Again, this is all this global warming hoax stuff that they perpetrate on everybody. But they've got to throw that in there because that's part of the narrative. And there's many people out there that will they'll be convinced, yeah, going to a digital currency is going to save the planet. And so they throw that in there, and of course people will believe it. He goes on and says, the United States must maintain technological leadership in this rapidly growing space, supporting innovation with mitigating the risks for consumers and businesses, the broader financial system, and the climate. Again, all these risks apparently will just drift away and go away once we have a digital currency. Again, they're creating a false narrative. What risk are you talking about? You know, the risk of speculators, the risk of hedge fund operators that are always cheating. That's never going to stop. But anyway, it's going to save the planet and it's going to give you more stability financially is how they're selling this. And it goes on and says, and it must play a leading role in international engagement. So America must be involved in this international or global engagement. And then it says this, and global governance. There it is right there, guys. You got it. The issue for this, for the digital currency, they're telling you right here in this passage, they want a global government. And it says the global governance of digital assets consistent with democratic values in U.S. global competitiveness. Now, what are these democratic values? Don't think it's for rights and freedoms that the Bill of Rights gives us in the Constitution. No, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the democratic values of the Whore of Babylon. What do you mean? They're talking about their values, their morals, not biblical values or morals, their morals. See, because what's going to happen in this digital currency is this, guys. If you don't play ball with their values and their morals, you're going to be held and not being able to spend money. You're going to be shut down. You're going to be limited on what you can spend on. They'll be able to control your buying and selling based on if you accept the narrative of their values and their morals. If you go against that, they can withhold the currency. They can say, no, you can't buy these things because you don't have the right mindset. It's like what happens in China, the social credit score. Like if you go against the Chinese government, they don't let you fly. They don't let you get on public transportation. You're not able to put your kids in private school. You're not able to buy property or anything like that. So with a digital currency, we already have the test case in China. If you don't comply with these so-called democratic values, which is nothing but Babylonian values, then you're not a player in the system. We won't allow you to do certain things. We may not allow you to travel. We may not allow you to buy certain things like guns and ammo or anything like that. It has far-reaching implications. Their idea is we've got to be a leader in global financial systems. It, again, they're telling you what this is for. This is for a global government. Because as you know, the Bible predicts a global government in the tribulation, right? And then that global government will have a global economic system that is cashless. And that's how they can control the buying and selling everybody. You see where this is going, right? And they say, oh, it's going to protect the consumer. It will give you financial stability and national security. It will save the planet. And so that's why it says today in the executive order, President Biden will sign an executive order outlining the first ever whole of government approach. What is this whole of government? It means all of the governments in, all the bureaucracies, all of it will all be in on this digital currency, okay? Addressing the risks and harnessing the potential benefits of digital assets and their underlying technology. Oh, okay. Underlying technology, huh? So how do you suspect they're going to use this so-called underlying technology on us? Well, it's not just simply a digital currency. You're going to carry your digital currency on your person because they're already fooling with this idea of putting everything in your banking, everything of your records, medical, health, banking, everything, economics, in your skin with a little RFID chip that they can insert in your skin, in your hand. And you will carry every bit of your digital currency simply on your hand and under your skin through an RFID chip. That's where they're going with it. That's what it means by this underlying technology. It goes on and says this, the order lays out a national policy of digital assets across six key priorities. Notice the key priorities. Consumer and investor protection. Protection against what? Financial stability. Financial stability from what? illicit finance. Oh, and this is part of the thing. Well, there's no under the table things anymore. The drug cartels, they'll be put out of business now, and all these shady deals that are being done with just simply cash, it's all going to be eliminated. And so it's going to eliminate crime. No, it won't. The crime syndicates and the cartels will find a way to go on the black market. That's all they do. What this is really about is, it's not about capturing illicit finance. If they wanted this to stop the drugs in America, they could, but they don't want to. The issue of illicit finance really has to do with, we're going to give you a fake thing that's going to solve illicit finance. And really what it's about is the ability to control everything you buy and sell. That's all. The black market criminals will still do the black market. Simple as that. But again, they're going to sell it like this. Oh, it's for your security, financial stability, and illicit finance to stop crime, right? And it goes on, U.S. leadership in global financial systems and economic competitiveness, financial inclusion and responsible innovation, it says. Well, I talked about the leadership thing and being part of the global system, but let's talk about financial inclusion and what that means. Financial inclusion, if you understand where that comes from, is the idea that we want all peoples of the entire world to be involved in this financial system. We don't want anyone excluded. No, what it means is they want to do the buying and selling, track the buying and selling of every individual on this planet. That's what inclusion means. And then through inclusion, by having everybody, then they can redistribute wealth through the digital currency. So they're going to take from the wealthy countries and give it to third world countries. And the idea is that since you can't bring the poor countries up, you must bring the leading countries and the richer countries down. So what they're going to do is target the West, Canada, United States, Australia, Europe, all these, bring our wealth down, redistribute it out to third world countries or whatever, and bring them up, and so everyone will be on a level playing field. So everyone will simply be poor, is the idea. But that's what they mean by financial inclusion. We're going to bring people, the countries like America and Canada down, redistribute their wealth, and bring these other third world countries so everyone will be on a Marxist, communist, equal plane. That's the idea. And then again, responsible innovation. Again, all that is talking about a chip they're going to implant in everybody. That's all that is. And notice in that last section, it talked about responsible innovation. Okay. It's not just simply the chip and everything, but responsible innovation. What it means is this, that we're going to base how we deal with you and your buying and selling based on your ESG score or your diversity, inclusion, equity score. Okay, so ESG, as we've talked about it before, means E is environmental. Are you for saving the planet and going green? Okay. S is for social. Do you accept the social values of the Whore of Babylon, basically? Are you pro-LGBT, pro-transgender, pro-this, pro-that, pro-critical race theory, all the stuff that they've been throwing out at us? And then governance is that do you have representation in your company and in your investments or whatever where you include other special groups into your businesses, in your board meetings, in your investments, that it's diverse, that you have a representation here, representation here, representation here. It's the ultimate, basically, in affirmative action, but it also includes affirmative action for LGBT and transgenderism, okay? So you got to have X amount of transgenderism on your board. You got to have X amount of gays and lesbians on your board. You have X amount of this, X amount of that. Okay. And that's what it refers to. Now, here's the thing. If you don't have these things, if you're not going green, if you're not accepting the values of the Poor of Babylon, if you're not practicing affirmative action on hyperdrive, and you're not for equity and inclusion and diversity, so then your ESG score and all these scores will go down. Your social credit score will go down, And that's where the responsible innovation comes in, to where they will tell you what you can buy and sell based on your social credit score, like in China. That's what that means. It goes on and says that specifically the executive order that Biden signed calls for measures to, first one is, the order also encourages regulators to ensure sufficient oversight and safeguard against any systemic financial risk posed by digital assets. Basically is this, we are going to have these overlords continue to watch and monitor what people do and how they buy and sell. We'll run algorithms and we'll know what people are doing in their purchasing habits and what they're buying. And we'll have oversight, because that oversight will then give them insight to how you buy things, how you don't, and they will try to manipulate your purchasing by saying, hey, look, man, you spent so much on gas. You spent too much this month. We're going to stop your buying of gas because you overspent your limit. Or you've bought too much meat this week. We're going to stop that and limit that to you. So that's what you have to be aware of when they're doing oversight. The other issue they want is to promote equitable access to safe and affordable financial services by affirming the critical need for safe and affordable and accessible financial services as a U.S. national interest that must inform our approach to a digital asset innovation, including disparate impact risk. Such safe access is especially important for communities that have long had insufficient access to financial services. And again, what does this mean? Again, it's the idea that we're going to take money and redistribute that to other people that we deem are at risk. Okay, so we're going to take this money, tax the fire out of somebody, so we can give it to these certain communities, not only in the United States, but this is global. And again, like I'm saying, they're going to raise the money in other communities, other third world countries, but take it away from us. So when they say communities that have long had insufficient access to financial services, what that means is we're going to give a bunch of freebies to the rest of the world while we steal the wealth of other people. And then it goes on and says this, to explore a U.S. central bank digital currency by placing urgency on research and development of a potential United States central bank digital currency. Well, there you go. Now they're telling you, we're going to create a central bank digital currency in the United States. It's going to regulate all this. But eventually this goes to a global central bank digital currency. That's where it's heading. And it goes on and says, should the issuance be deemed in the national interest? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to tell us this is in the national interest, because they are destroying our economy for this. This is why when President Biden got in, he signed things into order that stopped our energy independence, and now we're dying economically because we don't make our own energy anymore. Under Trump, we did. We cut off the Keystone Pipeline. We're pumping more money into the currency, into our economy, which creates hyperinflation, and so it's going to get so bad. The pricing will get so bad, they're going to say, look, guys, this is in the national interest. And then we're up to I think it's a $30 trillion debt ceiling. They're going to say, we owe too much. We've got to do a great reset of our economy. And this is in our national interest. And that's how they're going to sell it. That's what they're saying here. They're telegraphing that to us. And it goes on and says, the order directs the U.S. government to assess the technological infrastructure and capacity needs for a potential U.S. central bank digital currency in a manner that protects America's interests. So again, they're going to say, we're giving the funding to this. Whatever it takes, we're going to provide all the funding to create the technological infrastructure for this. So it'll be nationwide first, and then it'll go global second. But they've got to get the money. So where are they going to get the money? Well, they can either print it off, or they can tax you and I to get the money to build this infrastructure, because there will be no more change or cash that's exchanged anymore. So they've got to have the mechanisms all over the United States to get this to happen, and that's going to cost billions and billions and billions of dollars. So they'll just send up a bill asking for a bunch of money to save the economy, and that's what'll get approved. That's how they're going to do it. It continues on and says, the order also encourages the Federal Reserve. Now, here's the funny thing. The Federal Reserve is neither federal nor is it a reserve. It is an independent entity that got created in 1913. It is the monster that was created on Jekyll Island. And the Federal Reserve is our enemy. Anyway, they include them, right, to continue its research, development, and assessment efforts of the U.S. central bank digital currency, including development of a plan for broader U.S. government action in support of their work. So they're going to include the Federal Reserve. And that's, again, that's a warning flag. And, of course, they're going to include them because these people are evil, what they're doing. And the Federal Reserve is the one who controls our money supply and what they're doing. So it's a pretty scary group that they're including. Anyway, it goes on and says, this effort prioritizes U.S. participation in multi-country experimentation. Notice what they said. We're going to start it here, and then we're going to go to a multi-country experimentation, which maybe we'll do a Canadian, U.S., and Mexico currency, perhaps. But they're going to include other countries as an experimentation. Okay, so once they experiment and they say, okay, it's working, then where do they go from that? They go to global. That's where all of this is heading. So they're going to start nationally, then regionally, and then globally. And that's what, again, they tell you what they're doing. This is the funny thing about evil people. Evil people will always tell you what they're doing. And that's what's happening here. It goes on and says this, the administration will continue to work across agencies and with Congress to establish policies that guard against risks and guide responsible innovation. There's that word, responsible innovation, ESG, diversity, inclusion, equity, all that stuff, right? With our allies and partners to develop aligned international capabilities. Oh, we're gonna go beyond the United States to international capabilities that respond to national security risks, and with private sector to study and support technological advances in digital assets. You know what they're saying here? We're all going to get together. All these countries are going to get together. And then when there's a national security risk to all the countries, we're going to act. So just like today, what they're doing with Russia, you're watching the Great Reset. You're watching the globalists. And every corporation and country that's aligned with globalism shut the economic system down for Russia. And again, no one's a fan of Russia or Putin, but no one's a fan of the globalists and what they're doing. But what the globalists are showing you through their ability to shut things off economically is this is how they will respond to people that don't play ball. They will just shut them down economically, whether that's a business, whether that's a person, whether that's a country. They will have the ability, if they go to a digital currency, to be able to shut the water off, so to speak, of their economics. That's what they're trying to do to Putin right now. And Putin's not going to be stopped, obviously, but they're showing how they're going to deal with countries that pose security risks to their system of globalism. That's what they're saying here. So with all that being said, you and I are watching the setup of what will happen in the tribulation. That's how close we are. And you know the passage. It's Revelation 13, 16 through 17. And it says, he causes all. This is a false prophet, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now that's future, but it's in the near future apparently, because the system is being set up. Okay, we won't be here for the tribulation, but we are sure enough watching the setup of all this. Again, it's some of it's quite frightening. Some of it's kind of a bittersweet, because that means we're getting closer to seeing the Lord, right, in the rapture. But we are seeing the setup, and I don't know how much more setup we will see. And like I've always said, the closer the rapture is to the tribulation, the more setup we're going to see. And that's what's happening. Now, what are the implications? Well, the implication is, obviously, if we're still around and we haven't been raptured, our economy is going to go to a digital currency. And you and I will experience that. And we can experience that even before the tribulation. Because, again, we won't be here for the tribulation. But the setup is happening. So it appears that many, many things that were prophesied for the tribulation have a setup period that are pre-tribulational. And you and I are now, I guess you want to say, privileged at the same time. And it's kind of bittersweet to watch all this go down. But we're seeing this happen in our lives. And it's going to affect us. It's going to affect us. If we have to live through a digital currency, how will we deal with it? Well, I can tell you this. People have asked me many times, what do I do with my money? I can tell you this. You're going to have to turn it in eventually and trade your cash in for digital assets. That's how it works. You say, well, do I go buying gold and silver? Yeah, but eventually if you're going to use that gold and silver in a digital currency, you're going to have to turn that in too. See, they have us trapped. That's the thing. They have us trapped. There's really no way out of it. And so what ends up happening is in a digital currency, they will be able to control your buying and selling. So the thing you see in Revelation 13 about the beast controlling the buying and selling, the control of the buying and selling will happen even pre-tribulational. Because I can tell you right now, if they get their way and they stick on us these globalist values, these Babylonian values, like, hey, we don't eat meat type of thing, right? They already say they want to limit our beef intake, our meat intake. And so isn't it funny that Paul warns Timothy about this, that in the latter days, they're going to forbid people to eat meat. And that will be the churches pushing this. So I see that coming. So they're going to be able to control what kind of food you eat. And then they're going to say, as far as your energy consumption, how much energy you could run. Hey, you're running your house too hot. You're running your house too cold in the summertime. We will tell you how to run your heat because we'll base it on the digital credits you have. And then sometimes they can force you in a digital currency what to buy. They'll say, we're going to give you these credits, but these credits have to be spent by the end of the month. And you can only buy X, Y, and Z. So they will force you with a digital currency to buy certain things, buy certain products. And so it's a complete loss of freedom, a complete loss of your privacy. So yeah, that's all going to happen. And now we're seeing an executive order being signed in. It's not law yet, but it's going there. Okay, so then what am I supposed to do? Well, you're really going into a situation where we're trapped. That's what we're heading into, okay? Now, yeah, we could be raptured right now and avoid all of this, but if we don't, and the rapture's close to the tribulation, you're going to have to experience this. You're going to lose a lot of your economic wealth. You have to understand that. They're not going to sell you digital currency from $1 to $1 in a digital currency. They're planning to sell you a digital dollar for $1.50 of your money. So you will pay more to get this digital currency. That means it's going to lower your value. If they start doing major shifts by taxing people, and you will not be able to avoid taxes because all they have to do is go into your digital currency account and take whatever taxes they want, take those taxes and redistribute to the people they want it to do. You will not be able to avoid taxes. And so they will tax everybody like this. So your economic system is going to go down, or your personal economic system is going to go down. Your retirement is going to go down. Your purchasing power is going to go down. And you're going to be limited to what you can buy, what you can sell. That's how this works. Okay, you say, well, that doesn't give me much hope, but here's where the hope is. Every time you see the biblical characters in Scripture and they get trapped in a situation that they can't get out of, whether it's in the Exodus when they get trapped at the Red Sea, or whether it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, or it's in Daniel in the lion's den, or it's Peter being put in jail. What you will see is that the biblical characters put into a no-win situation. They're put into a landlocked situation. There's no place to go. And that's kind of how we are. We're running from Pharaoh right now. and we're through the mountain caverns and Pharaoh's bearing down on us, and here's Nineveh Beach where the Red Sea crossing is going to happen. We're getting onto that beach, and then when we look north and we look south, there's nowhere to go, and we look ahead, there's only water. We're moving into a situation where we're trapped. But what's the key in that? The key is, in all those situations with those biblical characters, God came in at the last minute and delivered them from it. Somehow made them be able to survive. Whether that was this Red Sea parting, whether that was taming the lions and closing their mouths, or whether that was Jesus appearing in the fiery furnace and not letting the fire burn Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Either way, he provides a way out, a way of escape, a way of deliverance. Now that deliverance might be the rapture. Maybe. Or it could be something else. Because people say, well, what are my options? I don't know at this point in time. What we have to do is just trust the Lord until we get there. And once we get there, you have to trust that He will provide a way of escape somehow. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I wish I could. But we'll know when we get there. God's just saying, look, be aware of this and trust me through this that I will make a way out for you somehow, some way. Then we might go to digital currency, but He'll show us how to adapt and survive in that world. So don't worry about it. Don't lose sleep. Be aware of it's happening and just be prepared when they put this into fruition and they bring it to fruition, it will affect us. So either way, God will take care of us. He will provide for us. It may not be the provision you have right now. It might be less. Remember, when He led Israel out of Egypt, they had a lot of things in Egypt that they had to give up, the leeks and the onions and the comfort and all that stuff, but they were leaving slavery to freedom. Now remember, He took them to freedom, but where were they at? In the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is not like Egypt. It's harsher, but at least in the wilderness, you're free. So He may lead us to the wilderness out of Egypt, but remember, that wilderness will be a little bit harsh, but at least you and I will be free.